showtime!
Ready, men? Contact! Contact! We are on the air!
Guys, we're all here for the same reason. I cannot stress this enough. It's gonna get uncomfortable, it's gonna get crazy, it's gonna get weird. But you have to get used to this. We're gonna interrupt each other. You're gonna interrupt your friends. You're gonna make your friends feel weird. You're gonna make your non-friends feel weird.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Good morning. Hello. It is the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now, Monday, the 6th of May, 2019. Woo, hope you had a good weekend. Mine was crazy. Had a heck of a wrap-up to it. We'll talk about that later on here on the Joe and Alex Show. A lot going on today. Of course, it's a Monday Music Marathon. Also coming up at 7:30, 6:30 Central, it's a Murder Monday, a deadly game of telephone with Dorothy Jane Scott. Alex, I'm afraid to pick up the phone now.
Yeah, this is a really creepy story. I'm excited to tell you this one.
All right, so that's coming up here this morning on the Joe and Alex Show. If you want to see what's happening all the time, Twitter and Instagram, it's at Joe and Alex Show. You can kind of get a little sneak peek of what's going on. And make sure you always click on our stories, and we put a lot of show content on there. Alex, how are you this fine Monday morning?
I'm good. I just did it like an early Mother's Day with my mom. So I went to her house and we watched a movie and talked and ate. And then the next day went to church together and stuff. So that was, it was pretty chill. I was just doing that. That's what she wanted for Mother's Day, was for me to come over. We got our nails done together.
Are you guys kind of like slowly starting to talk again?
Well, I don't have as much of a problem with her as I do with other people in my family.
Okay.
So I hung out with her because nobody else was around.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. What about you, Liv? How was your weekend?
My weekend was super, super good. I watched a ton of Game of Thrones, which is like literally what I was looking forward to like all weekend or like all week last week. And I just chilled because I needed it so bad because I've been like traveling just like to my hometown and just so much. So it was nice to just have a very like chill weekend.
Cool. Pork chop. Man, look at you looking all nice and buttoning up today.
Well, you shaved.
Yeah, I know. Look at you. I didn't even recognize my... Who's this guy in our studio?
Oh, is that what it is? That he looks better? You look good.
Once a week.
Do you?
Well, you should keep it like this. It looks the best.
Remember
you
when
look
we...
so young.
What the heck? You guys are crazy. Remember when we did that competition thing where like pork chop where I had to shave off or something? Like,
I was genuinely thinking, man, he looks thinner or something is different, but that's what it is. Liv called it. It's the no facial hair. Both you and Joe look 10 times slimmer when you don't have any facial hair.
Listen, I am a married man, and I can't have every woman coming up and hitting on me. I'm trying to preserve what we have here, so I got to keep the beard.
I can't believe you guys are just saying this now, because we did that competition back in December.
No, you look different today.
Since December, I've been shaving this low once a week.
Are you doing like a new face routine? You do look different. Not that you look like crap before, but you look nice today.
We all know I have the same 10 shirts, so I probably wore this shirt like
100 times. Yeah, that's probably true.
All right, you know what? That's it. We're done complimenting. You look like crap.
Yeah, like what are you doing?
Okay, fine,
this is the first time we've all come together just to like shower you with compliments and you're fighting.
If I gave an ugly look today, you'd be the winner. So anyways, besides being ugly, how was your weekend?
I forgot what I was going to say. It was good. Oh my gosh. So Liv and I played tennis on Friday.
Yes.
And it was great. We had a great match. It actually came down to the very last point and I won. But besides that, my back, Liv, has been killing me.
Really?
Yeah, it's been like so stiff.
Worked too hard.
I don't know. I mean, like, ever
since...
Put
it in, Chase. Put it in, man. No, do that like, work, son.
Ever since we played tennis and then all weekend I Uber drove, I made $400 this weekend. That was really good.
Nice.
Yeah, but I don't know. My back is just in pain from playing tennis and then sitting all weekend.
You, like, you just always have something wrong with you.
It's because I'm getting old, Liv.
Maybe you should have stretched before the tennis.
We did.
We stretched our hamstrings.
There should have been video of just that. I just want to see behind the scenes of Pork Chop and Liv warming up for tennis. I don't want to see the actual match. just want to see them touching their toes.
I was like, do this, pork chop. And he's like, ooh, ooh.
How was your wedding in Michigan, Joe?
Wedding was great. I had an awesome time. This is good. I love Michigan. It's where I met my wife, and I'm from there. But I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Grand Haven. If you've never been there, beautiful. It's like the ocean without sharks and salt water. But it was really cool. Congrats to Susie and Davis, my friends that got hitched. I'm happy for them. But I'm like pork chop, like legit. As I'm talking right now, it is paining me to be here. My nerve is so pinched in my back. It was fine, but like sleeping on an air mattress and just riding in a car for eight hours.
Why did you agree to sleep on an air mattress? Why didn't you guys get a hotel room?
We did have a hotel one night, but the first night we got in, it wasn't even worth having a hotel. We got there so late. So
oh,
I was like,
no.
I'm not even worth it. But it freaking hurts. I mean, I've broken bones before. I had my hip replaced. This is pinching so damn bad. Like, my leg is tingling right now, numb as
Why
I'm standing.
Why in the world
it.
Did you come in? I would have gone straight to the
because,
doctor.
No, well, there's nothing to do. I just have to chiropractor. Doctor's not going to be able to do anything. I popped like 1,000 milligrams of Tylenol, so maybe the show will sound better than usual. I don't know. But I'm supposed to get in and see my chiropractor again today, but I legit like don't even want to be here, and I love doing the show, but like I just want to get this damn thing over with.
I wouldn't have come in if I was in that much pain.
Honestly, I am having cramps right now. I'm cramping really, really bad just because of Mother Nature. So like there's three of us that are just like on the struggle
All right, everybody,
bus so
hey,
hard.
Alex has got this. You guys ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, Alex, you take over.
Well, speaking of, coming up next, Shawn Mendes revealed what he does for me time while he's on tour, and Miley Cyrus yelled something kind of interesting at her concert over the weekend.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Shawn Mendes talked about the ways that he takes time for himself while he's on tour.
You find time to rest and recharge while touring. I think there used to be this thing where I was like, tour, make music, and take time off. And now it's kind of become a forever flow of making music and touring. I decided not long ago that the touring is my life, and I have to just spend the days on tour relaxing, you know, and really kind of enjoy it and don't look at it as a job. And that's kind of made everything really fun for me.
This is what he says he likes to do to take time for himself.
I have a ping pong table backstage. I have a PS4 that we play a lot of FIFA on, like serious FIFA tournaments. That's a really big thing that we do. But yeah, I don't know. I'm still in that stage where I'm like so obsessed with my guitar and with music, so I can't seem to put it down. But maybe in a few years, I mean, the thing that exhausts me is also the thing that recharges me.
Over the weekend, Justin Bieber came under fire for defending Chris Brown. He called Chris Brown's past assault charge a mistake. In an Instagram post on Friday, he posted like a picture that had Chris Brown in it, and he was like, everyone wants to wait till people die to give them credit they deserve. I'm calling it now. When Chris Brown passes away after a full long life, you will miss what you had in front of you the whole time. Trust me, you watch, you will see. The people who have overlooked this man's talent because of a mistake he made, you need to reevaluate. Love you, Chris Brown. A lot of Bieber's followers weren't all that pleased with this post. One said, are you justifying this horrible guy's actions, saying that he's depressed? Because being depressed is not an excuse to punch your girlfriend. Never. Stop with this. Another one said, abuse is not a mistake. Charlize Theron clarified that she did not turn down the Wonder Woman role. She actually was offered a role in the movie, but it wasn't the lead. And she says this is the moment that she realized she's kind of aging out in Hollywood.
I did not turn the role of Wonder Woman down. This is a great example of how Hollywood like slaps you in the face when you start aging. So somebody had said to me, oh, there's action on this thing, Wonder Woman. You know, we just want to make you aware of it. And I was like, I'm not familiar with it. I don't really know what it, like, I mean, what does Wonder Woman do? And this person said, no, it's for Wonder Woman's mom. It was the defining moment where I crossed over.
MTV's planning on firing Janelle Evans from Teen Mom 2 after her husband, David Eason, killed her dog. Several advertisers have already pulled out of the reality show following his killing of the puppy, and sources say MTV will fire her after the reunion show taping. And Miley Cyrus seems to believe that Britney Spears was recently being held in a mental health facility against her will. She was performing in Memphis, Tennessee Saturday at the Beale Street Music Festival while she was singing Party in the USA, and then she started yelling about Free Britney. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'll do it again.
Yeah, so she did that several times. She, you know, is kind of, I guess, along the same lines of thinking as a lot of Britney's fans, where they're thinking that she was being held captive at this mental health facility where she was getting treatment and under the control of her folks who run her conservatorship.
That was good.
She appears to believe Britney Spears was just, you know, trapped essentially by her family, I guess.
Free her! Leave her alone!
For more garbage, go to JoeAndAlexShow.com.
Monday motivation time on the Joe and Alex Show.
If you're feeling good, say yeah!
Yeah! Yeah, yeah, yeah! All right. Baby Shark, that song that we all love and know, this one right here.
Baby Shark, do 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 do, Baby Shark, do 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 do.
Helped a toddler, and I can never say this correctly, even though I have a friend that has a baby with it.
Spina bifida.
Thank God Alex is here today. Learned to walk. A 2-year-old girl named Harper was born with severe spina bifida, so her parents didn't know if she'd ever be able to walk again. But now she is in the song. Played a big part in it.
Aww.
A doctor had been working with her and wanted to get her up and moving, so she decided to see if Baby Shark would help. Well, whenever it comes on, Harper gets really excited.
Aww.
And it's kind of like a metronome, like on a beat, like doom, doom, you know, like to keep
right.
you on beat. And it gets the baby to walk and kind of try to have a pace and do something. And yeah, they're saying it's been amazing to see this. Now she's tooling all over the place and getting stronger every day. That's my story today. What do you got, Alex?
A high school student is honoring 25 fallen Marines with her prom dress, which took her 2 years to make. Her name is Audrey Heaton. She goes to a high school in Illinois, and she designed the patriotic dress to resemble an American flag with streamers of red and white that flow down the blue skirt. The matching blue halter top features embellishments that look like actual stars, and on the red and white ribbons are 25 names printed in black and white belonging to the members of the 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, also known as 3/5 or Dark Horse, that were killed in action between September 2010 and April 2011 while conducting operations in Afghanistan. So when she heard about their sacrifices, she said, "I just wanted to wear this tribute dress to my senior prom so that the memories of the guys who fell in Afghanistan for our right to live and do what we do every day is carried on. I don't want them to fade into nothing." Since posting her dress on social media, she said that she's received tons of messages of support.
That is a really cool dress. If you've not seen that thing yet, I was so impressed.
Really neat.
Mine is about this older woman in Canada. She used to wave to students walking by because she lived, I guess, like on the track to school.
Hi, kids.
Yeah. And so every day she, you know, they would look in. And so she would just wave. And she started waving with her husband every single morning. And then he passed. And
aww.
She continued it. She would sit at the window and every day wave to all the students that passed by. And so the students heard that she was moving to a retirement home and moving out of her house. And so the school, all of these students, like hundreds and hundreds of students, had a parade for her.
What?
And like the day before she moved, they all came by and all said like goodbye to her together, had posters, had flowers for her.
Cute.
So it's just like motivating here, like one person just doing like one nice gesture, just waving to students, and how much it actually like impacted all of those kids.
Yeah.
Love
well, I'm sure that.
That
made their day on the way to school every day.
Thank you, Liv. Thank you, Alex. All right. That's your Monday motivation here on the Joe and Alex Show. Can we get some new Bieber music? I know it's weird to hear me say that, but I love hearing that little guy sing.
Well, he tweeted something last week that was very like cryptic, so it might be here sooner than people
think.
What
was it, like the number 10?
Yeah, and there was someone else who tweeted it as well.
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. So
good
I don't
day.
Know if they're like collabing.
Ooh, maybe there's a 10th episode of Game of
well,
Thrones.
Well, see, it was 10, and then he tweeted 7, and then he tweeted 6.
Yeah, because he's counting down the days.
Oh, I see what you did there. I'm excited to hear that because I actually like Bieber as much as I hate on the little
like
guy.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably an Ed Sheeran song that he just features on.
I'll take it.
Me too.
All right, let's get into it. It is time for Joe's Need to Know News. The 2019 Kentucky Derby, for the first time in the history, had an on-track violation, and it changed the winner. Maximum Security was stripped of the win, which made Country House the winner of Saturday's 145th running of the Kentucky Derby.
And they're into the stretch. Country House on the outside. Code of Honor down toward the rail. Maximum of security. Keeps on fighting. War of Will is there too as they come to the final furlong. It is Country House on the outside. Maximum Security soaked in game. He keeps battling on. Maximum Security. Country House went 2 down to the line. Maximum Security wins the Kentucky Derby.
And the rest are turned into Elmer's glue. Yay.
Yeah, I had money on Maximum Security, so I was like jumping up and down, screaming when he won. And then it got overturned. And so then my boyfriend, Jewel Daddy, had money on the horse that actually won due to like the disqualification. Because it was 65-1 odds.
What are the odds?
For this horse. What are the odds?
9 million, speaking of odds. 9 million bucks for people lost after that was reversed. Ooh. It was a big loss for people after the horse got disqualified.
I know. It's like really sad because his stud money, that's like how much the money is worth, how much a horse is worth.
To be a prostitute, yeah, to knock up other horses.
Yes, Maximum Security stud money like went really down, but it's like he's still fast.
Well, I guess part of the rules with the Derby are that the horses have to stay in like their designated lanes or whatever.
Yeah, like they have to leave an open lane for other horses.
You can't block a horse. You can't like racing.
Yeah. Maximum Security was sliding into other horses' areas while they were racing, but a lot of people's defense is that, dude, it was like super muddy and stuff, like it you know, because it had been raining all weekend long and all day long.
Yeah, but like imagine this. That could have, it honestly could have caused like a 20 horse pile up.
Then they all would have been turned
into like, blue. And like jockeys could have been like actually very seriously injured. And like people are already saying like horse racing is like not good for the horses and
stuff. Of course not.
So you think the overturning was fair?
Yes, because if the horses all did like collide and collapse and like jockeys got hurt and horses died and got hurt and everything like that, we might never see the Kentucky Derby again.
I watch racing. I don't want people to die, but who doesn't like a crash? We all like crashes. You're lying if you don't like a good crash. You are a total
maybe
liar.
Maybe for NASCAR. I don't know. I
didn't think it was fair that it got overturned. I feel bad for a lot of people that bet money on him.
Alex lost a lot of money, it sounds like.
I didn't. I've never bet on a horse.
The FCC is warning Americans about the one-ring robocalls. Have you heard of this? The recent one-ring call attempts to bait a consumer, such as you and me, into calling the number back, which can result in you being billed tolls up to like for a 900 number. So it'd be like $1 a minute or more. And these are the latest waves are coming from this area code. So do not pick it up. 222. It's a country code of a West African nation. The FCC's don't call these numbers back. Instead, file a complaint on their website, fcc.gov/complaints. But that's something I feel my grandma or mom would do. I'm like, well, I better call back. Maybe it's my son.
Yep.
Hello? Joe, you sound different. All right, I'll talk to you for an hour and a half.
I can always tell when it's one of those crank callers because it's a weird number that I don't know, and then they never leave a voicemail. So that's how I know that it was one of those things.
I don't answer any number that I don't have in my phone. I just rely on them to leave a voicemail.
So do you not have my number in your phone, or what's with me calling you and you not picking up?
Yeah, that's why.
Oh, okay. Just wondering. All right, we talked about this like a year or two ago here with Need to Know News. A man went to court. He said, listen, I do not need this $300 ticket. This hash brown is what I was eating, not a cell phone that I was talking to. The officer wrote him a ticket for talking while driving. I guess it's illegal. And guess what? The man went to court, and he won.
Wow.
Now, some might say he lost because the ticket was $300. I guarantee you his legal fees for all this was a lot more. But yeah, Connecticut man just won a legal battle that lasted over a year and cost him more than $300 than the $300 traffic ticket.
Sometimes it's about the principle of the thing.
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, for this guy, I mean,
if he won, but it's like, think all the hash browns he could have bought right there.
True. So,
but yeah, good for him for fighting the good fight. And this video has been going crazy. I assume this happens way more than we're used to. It's just we don't see it inside of a birthing room, like in a hospital. But have you seen this video? I'll put it up on our blog at joeandalexshow.com. It was shot by a family showing their baby girl getting dropped on her head by hospital staff in Arizona. Jeez. Monique Rogers said that the video shot by her husband, Derek. By the way, very good camera work. Derek, I'm impressed with you. To be under pressure like that and to take video, you're amazing. Shows her three hospital workers cleaning the girl, you know, she was born, getting the top and the bottom everywhere, and she's being held in the air kind of path real quick, and she slipped out of one of the workers' hand and lands on her head, but the baby fell like probably like 3 or 4 inches, but I know it still lands on its head. I mean, it's still like, oh my God, here's the thing though. The baby lands on the table but almost falls off the table. That would have been a big deal. It would have probably fallen 3 or 4 feet. So it's just like, insane. But babies, like, they're always slippery anyways, right?
I know. Like, I just wonder, like, how much it actually impacts their brain when they get dropped as a baby.
Well, if she turns into a serial killer, I guess we'll know. Yeah. You know, the number one thing that most serial killers have in common is that there was a head injury as they when they were a child.
Well, I had a head injury as I'm, like, a young child. What does that mean? The baby had to stay in the NICU unit because it was also a preemie for 12 days. A head ultrasound was performed about 5 days after the birth. But she never, the mom never got the results until now. Her daughter actually has a grade one hemorrhage on the left side of her brain, possibly caused by the staffer, but it also could have been because of the preemie and everything that went on with delivering the baby. So,
that's so
but don't
sad.
Parent, I mean, I'm not
scary.
Saying it's cool. If it was my kid, I'd be freaking out. But reality, I think all of our parents dropped us like once or twice, right? Like you were dropped, Alex.
As a newborn, a toddler is different.
Thrown, whatever you want to call it. Thrown, it doesn't matter.
I'd probably sue too.
I have three older sisters that I'm sure probably all tried to hold me when I was a newborn because they probably thought I was a new baby doll. So I'm sure I was probably dropped.
The Rockets won on Saturday. They trail that series against the Warriors 2-1. Game four is tonight. Maybe they'll tie that up. And today is a special day. It's National Nurses Day. Just shout out to all of our nurses, both female and male. Yes,
yay,
there are male nurses out there. We appreciate all you do and having to put up with us weird, sneaky people that come in to see you. That is Joe's Need to Know News. Check it all out at joeandalexshow.com. Good morning. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. It's a Monday Music Marathon. That's right, a marathon for your ear holes. So this girl, she's pretty darn smart. She had an assignment, and she aced it. Allison was assigned to write a movie review. It required for the essay to be at least 500 words long. However, she only wrote about one sentence. Her review reads, quote, "Fight Club. The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club." That's it. That's the essay. After giving it some thought, her professor decided, you know what? I'm going to give you 100 out of 100 on this. But he warned her, like, any other person probably would have gave you a zero for this actual assignment. But, I mean, really, that sums up the movie, right?
Yeah.
You don't talk about Fight Club.
It's clever, but I don't know that if I was her teacher, I don't think I would have given her an A.
Oh, I would have. I think it is super, super clever. And also, like, this probably was for, like, an end of the year assignment.
That's true.
It's almost, the semester's almost done. This professor is probably cool. He's probably hot. Like, I like it.
All right. Well, I've got a couple here I just want to go through. Some are going to be easy, some will be hard. But, Alex, don't look at my screen because the answers are on my screen. I wanted to be fair. But just buzz in with your name if you think you know the movie. I'll give you a sentence or two. Here's the first one. He doesn't know who you are, but he will kill you.
Alex?
Go ahead.
Taken?
Boom. Alex.
Oh,
nice.
That's
my favorite movie.
He has a set, you know, a special set of skills,
guess
too.
Not.
But yeah. My favorite movie, but I didn't even buzz in. Okay. You didn't know that line? That's one of the main lines in the movie, bro.
Liam Neeson.
Okay. Great grandma tells a group of people about the time.
Live.
Go ahead.
Titanic.
You looking at my Google Doc over here?
No, I'm not. I've just heard that before.
Oh, yeah. Screwed over a bum. So take that, bum. Kid gets left at home. Screams.
Liv. Home Alone.
Okay. I feel like Liv cheated and looked at all my answer sheets.
No.
Yes, that's
but
right.
It's 2-1, and Porchup has 0 if anyone's keeping count.
Ouch.
I am.
All right. How about this one? A love triangle between an 18-year-old girl and a 100-year-old guy and a dog. A love triangle.
Chop.
Go ahead.
Up.
No, it is not Up. A love triangle between an 18-year-old girl, a 100-year-old guy, and a dog.
I don't know this one.
Give me a
Twilight.
Second.
Twilight was the answer we were looking for right there.
Oh, werewolf, dog,
yes,
Jacob.
Yes.
Okay, how about this one? A guy learns to love a girl without all of her Instagram filters.
That's funny.
This one's hard.
Some would say it's impossible, but a guy learns to love a girl without her Instagram filters. What is that one sentence movie?
I don't know this.
One of my favorite animated movies.
Oh, it's animated?
Let's see here.
3, 2. If you were looking for Shrek, you would have been correct.
Oh. I don't get it.
Well, she's ugly. She turns into an ogre after a certain time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, without all those filters.
No,
make
don't
it look
spoil
better.
The movie for me.
Oh, shut up. Boy spends 7 years being a third wheel. There's a wand involved, too.
Live!
There you go.
Harry Potter.
There you go. I'm just throwing in clues now because I kind of get worried we'll never get anywhere without them. Let's see. Do I have one more here? Oh, Liv will like this one. Girl has to pretend she's a man to be taken seriously.
Mulan.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say She's the Man.
Oh, She's the Man is so good.
All right. No, Liv was right on that one. Two idiots fight over another man's wife at a ski resort. This is an old one. Go ahead.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's very good.
I'm on fire, guys.
I am actually impressed. Yeah. Even if you looked at this, it's okay.
I really didn't, I swear.
Actually, let's see if you can figure this one out. Oh, this is going to send me to a bad place. Everyone tries the ice bucket challenge.
Liv.
Yes.
Actually, you know what? I don't know this one.
I bet you do.
I'm thinking of people that get like Frozen. Oh, Frozen?
No, I was going to do another Titanic reference.
Oh, I was going to say Titanic's the only one I can think of, but I already used that.
You could have. All right, let's wrap it up with this one right here. This is for all the marbles, okay? A guy that's alone in the forest kisses a dead body while seven other guys watch.
Liv.
Oh, Alex.
Liv was first.
Snow White.
Yeah, there you go. Liv's our big winner today. We don't do this often.
That was pretty impressive. I definitely did not know most of those.
I don't know, like, yeah, I'm shocked.
Well, Liv is good at riddles. Myself. We know that about her. I am not.
Professor Alex, you would have failed the student then, huh? No, no A for you with that Fight Club explanation?
I would have given her maybe a B minus.
Woo! Ooh, almost a C.
That's still good. That's
above average
good.
To think of that. So, all right, way to go, Liv. Hey, it's the Joan Alex Show. Sorry, that's Inside Radio. We were making fun of our coworkers who we heard them talking the other day, singing the song. Radio now. All right, hey, it is the Joan Alex Show. Hope you're having a good Monday. Really, we love you so much. We have something that you know you look forward to, and that is Murder Monday. Whether you just think about, man, I'd like to murder somebody, or you just get fascinated by hearing Alex tell these true crime stories. What is coming up, Alex, in about 25 or so minutes? What's it today?
Today we're talking about Dorothy Jane Scott and a series of very creepy events that led up to her disappearing from a parking lot.
Interesting. Oh, all right. Well, that is all coming up here on the Joe and Alex Show. Can we talk about Porkchop and him being the jealousiest person ever? That's not a word,
yeah,
but I made it
most
up.
Most jealous.
Most jealous. Okay. Porkchop. Yeah, we want to talk to you. Go ahead. Come back in the room. What's up, dude? Why are you so jealous?
I was telling Liv a story the other day, and she kind of called me out. She was like, what? Porkchop, really? Like, come on, you're in a relationship.
I definitely didn't sound like that.
You sound like the chocolate lady from what? Porkchop?
Well, that's what I hear, Liv.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. So, anyways, a year ago, my boyfriend and I, Chase, we split for like 3-4 months. And so I got back out on the dating scene. You know, I downloaded some dating apps. And I saw someone on there that caught my eye, and we matched, and we were talking for a little bit. We exchanged Snapchats, and then, like, nothing happened.
Well, you guys would snap each other, right?
Yeah, like, a little bit.
What were you snapping?
Well, like, the thing is, I think I was more interested in this person, and, like, they really weren't interested in me.
Got it.
So I was like, fine, no big deal.
Okay.
So then, like, another, like, week goes by, and then I met someone else. And then it was someone else that I actually got a little more serious with.
I got a little man whore over here, by the way. Just throwing that out there, dude. Please.
It's someone that I got a little more serious with, but I talked to them for like a month or two, and then Chase and I ended up getting back together, so that person was
out
of the picture.
You just threw him to the side. Yeah.
Wow, kinda. That's very considerate.
Kind of. Anyways, so now here's the part Liv's calling me out on. So let's fast forward a year later to just this weekend. I was looking on Snapchat, and I saw the two people in the Snapchat together.
Like, wait, the two people hanging out.
That's really surprising. Like, so those people who you happen to talk to separately now are talking?
Yes, but here's the thing that gets me upset.
What are the odds of that?
Well, dating profiles are not that big. It's a small area.
Remember the first one? No, it was kind of far. Remember the first one that I was into?
Yeah.
They weren't into me. So, like, nothing happened. So it's just weird to me that those two could get together, and I was kind of like, what? Like, how'd that happen? That's not fair. Like, what?
Yeah, so he was kind of jealous. So I thought it sounded like he was kind of jealous about this guy that he was into but wasn't into him, was into this other guy that he also talked to.
Is that true?
And I was like,
Yeah, I mean, kind of. It's like not. It's not fair. It's weird. It's like, let's say, for instance, this totally hypothetical, just to set the story here,
which means it's totally real.
Let's say, I was gonna say, let's say I like Joe, right? But okay. Joe didn't.
I've wondered if you found me attractive.
Right, but Joe wasn't into you.
Right, but Joe wasn't into
me. So he kind of rejected you.
Okay, fine. So then let's say, like, me and Alex, right? Like, let's say we like each other and we start talking and, like, we're getting close to going out, but then stop,
I don't
right?
know why this example is necessary. Well, I understood the story.
No, this example is getting out of control.
But then a year later, like, Joe and Alex get together. Right. I'm like, what the heck?
You know? Right. So he's jealous. And I was like, so you're basically jealous, but you're in a full-blown, serious, very committed relationship. And you're jealous over, like, a past thing.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily think I'm jealous. I just think it's, like, weird.
Well, it sounds like you're jealous.
You know, it's like, do I have to think of another example?
If no,
it's like,
no, if
no, I,
no,
be, I don't need any more examples. We get
no more examples. We understand it. But don't you guys, so my question is, like, isn't it weird that he's in a full-blown seven-year relationship and he's jealous over something that happened a year ago?
Liv, have you ever been in a seven-year relationship?
No.
Well, you haven't got the itch yet. You have not got an itch yet.
What do you mean? What's the itch?
It's a 7-year itch. You get bored in the relationship. You're like, well, what else is out there?
See, but I don't think that him and
I'm kidding. Oh. So there's not a big fight later between you and your boyfriend?
Right.
I'm kidding.
But,
God, I hate that I have to
know,
say I'm kidding.
You know, is it fair if you're in a serious relationship to get jealous over, like, an ex who's dating someone
else? I think
we
all look to our past, live a little bit. Jealous, whatever the word might be. I don't care who you are. And if you want to say, well, you need to move on. We all struggle to move on in different ways. We all check in on our exes, whether it's good or bad. Maybe we're happy for them. A lot of times we're probably not. Even if we're over them, we still like to see that you're doing better than them. So I think he's like, well, wait a minute. Why didn't they like me, but they like each other? That's how I would be.
I think, like, it's hard to determine, because we're not inside of Porkchop's head, but it's like hard to determine if all of us would be just like, there's a feeling of shock of like, wow, that is, I mean, what are the odds
so
that
random.
Those two random people got together that I had talked to separately? Like, anyone would be surprised. Surprised
one,
by that, but the question is it a feeling of being surprised, or is it a feeling of like, I'm jealous because I kind of like am a little ticked off that neither of them picked me?
Yeah, well, I mean, one
is that what you're feeling?
Yeah, I mean, kind of both of those, because I'm more ticked that the first one like didn't pick me, and then the second one did, but now they're together. It's like, what the heck?
Maybe you go on a double date, like reach out to them. You got your boyfriend.
Oh, they just posted to Snapchat 2 hours ago. Yep, there they are. Look at that.
Expose them. What are their names?
No.
Let me see.
Wow, they look pretty.
See, I think it sounds like jealousy to me a little bit.
Wow,
obviously,
that's
like
cute.
There is shock, but I think like Porkchop's like how come not me, but like this guy? Like, I think it almost sounds a little bit like jealousy.
Yeah.
Even if it is a little bit of jealousy, I don't think that it's unhealthy jealousy unless you are constantly thinking about them, checking their stuff, and it's just like an absolute obsession. I think that they only popped into his head for the first time when he saw the stab and he was like, well, that's just strange. I think that's okay. I'm not opposed to it.
Hold on, though.
That's what I'm asking.
Are they popping into your head any other time?
No.
Well, that was an awkward no. No, never.
So does Chase know about this?
He does now.
No.
Okay, well, if you guys get in a fight tonight, this was not our fault.
Yep, that's going to be clear
to
all.
Let's just lay that down.
Sign this waiver
now.
Saying we don't have to deal with your problems.
Oh. Yeah, I'm just going to delete Snapchat.
That would be a good idea. I'd also get off Bumble and Grindr. I don't know why you're still on there.
I'm not.
All right, it's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Kris Jenner talked about the fees that her daughters get for endorsing certain products on social media.
Well, my girls are constantly getting offers to post something for a company or a brand on social media. So they have a fee for a post or a fee for a story, a fee for Facebook, a fee for, you know, they have a fee schedule.
Can you give me a ballpark on the fees?
It's different. It's all over the board. I mean, it's definitely six figures. And sometimes if it's Kim or if it's Kylie, it depends on really what it is.
Is it more than six figures if it's Kim or Kylie?
If it's a pharmaceutical product, if it's something that you're going to drink or ingest or put on your body or...
And that was more than six figures?
Maybe.
She also talks about Kylie becoming a, quote, self-made billionaire.
Is it fair to call her self-made?
I think she's self-made because, I mean, listen... My girls, you can say that certain things have been handed to them, but it takes a lot of work to do what they're all doing.
So she may have the name, which is the leg up, and the notoriety of the TV show.
Right, right.
But the money, is all hers.
Right. We're talking about money, and the money she's made is her own. It began with her own savings. She put her own blood, sweat, and tears into it. It was her idea. It was amazing what she did and what she showed us, the rest of us, how to do it.
2.5 decades after his Saturday Night Live heyday, Adam Sandler returned to host over the weekend and took the opportunity to pay tribute to his former castmate, Chris Farley. He did that in song, and he also sang about his firing from SNL.
SNL was the greatest time of my life, and my daughter asked me, if it was the greatest, Dad, then why did you leave? Well, honey, there's a reason. I was fired. I was fired. I was fired, so sad to tell. Well, I never saw it coming. I got fired from SNL.
I saw a bit on there, too. I didn't watch the whole episode, but did you see any of it where, like, it was an Adam Sandler family reunion? And, like,
yes,
all of his family did all the different bits and characters as him? I love that.
Yep, they all impersonated his characters from over the years. He even brought back his famous Opera Man character. Louis Tomlinson says a One Direction tour will happen.
I do think it'll happen, and I'd certainly have something to say about it if it didn't. But I think it's inevitable. But when is the big question, and that's something that none of us really know the answer to at the moment.
Very exciting.
You gotta breathe, 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 breathe.
Tommy Chong has a message for Felicity Huffman, Lori Loughman, and other parents facing jail time for their roles in the college admission cheating scandal. He said, relax, prison life isn't so bad. He would know. The Up in Smoke star spent 9 months in prison in 2003 for running a company that sold bongs through the mail. He said his time behind bars wasn't an entirely unpleasant experience. He said, that's why I want to tell Felicity Huffman to relax. You're going on a mission. I swear to God, there's no punishment in the federal prison. You get a computer. You get a nice, comfortable cubicle. You're in there with nice, intelligent people. One of the nice, intelligent people that he met in prison was Jordan Belfort. That sounds familiar. That is the stockbroker played by Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street. He said he's a genius, without a doubt. A little crooked, but a genius. And Brie Larson proved that she was a talented singer before becoming an actress. She posted an Instagram video singing Ariana Grande's My Everything to prove it.
He wasn't my everything till we were nothing. And it's taken me a lot to say. But now that he's gone, my heart is missing something. So it's time I push my pride away.
Sounds so good.
Yeah, what the heck? That's so unfair when they can do everything. Like, leave some for us.
That's right. Coming up in less than an hour, Post Malone is launching something new and exciting this summer.
For more garbage, go to joanalexshow.com.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer, who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, the reason we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips on any unsolved crime that might be in your area. Here's their number. Make sure you take this down. You never know when you're going to need it. 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-TIPS. Alex, what are we doing today for Murder Monday?
Dorothy Jane Scott picks up her telephone. Hello? She asks nervously. The voice on the other side of the phone was one that she had grown to dread. It said, "When I get you alone, I will cut you up into bits so no one will ever find you." For months, Dorothy Jane Scott had been receiving phone calls at her work from the same terrifying man. The voice sounded vaguely familiar, but she just couldn't place it. Sometimes he talked about how much he adored her and worshipped her, and other times he was scary and violent. One day he calls and tells her to look outside. She finds a single dead rose on the windshield of her car.
Ugh.
He tells Dorothy that wherever she goes, he's watching, and he describes details of her life to prove it. This explosive and mysterious stalker scares her so bad that she signs up for a karate class and looks into buying a handgun. coincidentally, one of the most popular songs on the radio at this time is Every Breath You Take by The Police.
Watching you. You know, I used to think this was a sweet song, but now I'd be scared if somebody told me that.
So creepy, right? She's a 32-year-old single mom who lives with her 4-year-old son at her aunt's house in Stanton, a small city in Southern California nestled between Anaheim and Garden Grove. She works as a secretary for Swingers Psych Shop. It's a shop in Anaheim which is fully embracing the hippie culture at this time, even in 1980. Dorothy works in a backroom office and leads a life far less colorful than the tie-dye shirts and multicolored bongs sold at the front of the store. Her friends describe her as dull as a phone book. She almost never leaves her aunt's house for anything besides work. She's religious. She rarely dates, if ever, and works from morning till night and leaves her son Sean with her parents when she goes to work. She's a dependable worker and, by all accounts, a kind-hearted and compassionate person. It was on a breezy Wednesday night, May 28th, 1980. Dorothy Scott drops her son Sean at her parents' house and heads back to work for an employee meeting. As the meeting begins, Dorothy notices that a guy she works with named Conrad doesn't look too well. The meeting marches on and he just can't sit still. Something isn't right, which is made all the more apparent by the presence of an ever-deepening red streak on his arm. Dorothy is worried and convinces Conrad to let her take him to the emergency room. Another coworker named Pam offers to go with them. They stop briefly at Dorothy's parents' house to check on Sean and then head to UCI Medical Center. Once they're there, doctors make a surprising determination. Conrad's arm is infected due to a spider bite.
Oh,
a black widow
good.
Spider.
Not good.
As Conrad is treated, Dorothy and Pam hang out in the waiting room reading magazines and having small talk. Finally, Conrad comes into the lobby wobbling and lightheaded. As Pam stands in line with Conrad at the pharmacy, Dorothy volunteers to pull her car around so that Conrad won't have to walk far to get to it. Dorothy walks out into the black night. The lobby doors close behind her, and her coworkers wait. Conrad and Pam look out the front doors, expecting to see Dorothy's car, but it isn't there. They step outside, and still, there's no sign of her. They start getting impatient, and then they start getting concerned. Finally, after what seemed like forever, they feel relief when they see Dorothy's car start to pull up. But it approaches at a relatively high speed. Pam and Conrad wave their arms and are blinded by Dorothy's headlights. Dorothy's car speeds right past them, peeling out of the parking lot. Pam gasps and looks at Conrad. She says, "Can you believe that?" They run after the car. Suddenly, her headlights go out, and the car barrels down the road into the dark. Conrad and Pam are confused and irritated. They're trying to understand why their friend would up and leave them like that. They wonder if Dorothy forgot about an obligation she had and if she'll be back for them. But an hour passes, and then two. They tell the hospital police on duty what happened, but they don't think that it's that big of a deal yet. Pam calls Dorothy's parents to ask if she'd come and picked up her son, Sean. They haven't seen her all evening. Several hours later, Dorothy Scott's car is found abandoned 10 miles away in an alleyway, burning. Inside, there is no trace of Dorothy Scott. Police start to investigate Dorothy's disappearance. They advise Jacob Scott, Dorothy's father, to keep a tight lip for now. No newspapers, no television reporters, and no media. That all changes when a week after the disappearance, the telephone rings at the Scott's house. Dorothy's mom, Vera, answers. It's a man's voice. He says, "Are you related to Dorothy Scott?" Vera says, "Yes." Then the man says, "I've got her," and hangs up. Will police find Dorothy and the mysterious man on the phone? Find out next as Murder Monday continues with the Dorothy Scott case.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer, who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
You know we have photos, right? Go to Joe and Alex Show on Instagram. Give us a follow and you can see it. Today for Murder Monday, it's Dorothy Jane Scott. Now, what are the pictures of, Alex?
There's pictures of Dorothy with her son, Sean. And also you can see some of the newspaper articles that had come out about her case when she first disappeared. So Dorothy Jane Scott abruptly drives out of a hospital parking lot, leaving her friends who she was picking up, and is never seen again. A few hours later, her burning car is found in an alleyway without her in it. Weeks pass, and Dorothy's dad, Jacob, was starting to run out of patience. He contacts the local paper, and they run a story about Dorothy's disappearance. On the day the story is ran, a call comes in at the desk of one of the newspaper editors. A male caller says, "I killed her. I killed Dorothy Scott. She was my love. I caught her cheating with another man. She denied having someone else. I killed her." The creepy caller also gave details that hadn't been printed. He knew that Dorothy had been wearing a red scarf that night. He also knew about Conrad's spider bite. He claimed Dorothy had called him to tell him she was at the hospital. But Dorothy's friend Pam said this couldn't have been the case because Dorothy never left her presence throughout the evening, except once, to use the bathroom right before heading out to the parking lot. Investigators check out Dorothy's son Sean's father, but he has an airtight alibi and was home in Missouri on the night Dorothy disappeared. They question everyone at the smoke shop where Dorothy worked, and then question them again. The consensus was that since Dorothy worked out of public view, it's unlikely her harasser would have been a customer. Police look into area sex offenders. They investigate Dorothy Scott's social circle for any potential enemies or even questionable characters, but they find none. Dorothy's parents consult a psychic, then another psychic, and then police detectives consult their own psychic. Leads fizzle, and the investigation cools down. But the menacing phone calls keep coming. Almost every Wednesday for 4 years, the phone rings at the Scott's house. The calls come during the day when Dorothy's mother is home alone. The caller asks, "Is Dorothy there?" or says, "I've got her," before hanging up. The police plant a recorder in the Scott residence and the caller's voice is saved on tape. No one recognizes the voice, though. The Scotts have the lines tapped, but the caller will never stay on long enough for the call to be traced. The calls finally stop in April 1984 when Dorothy's dad, Jacob, answers a nighttime call from their unknown tormentor. Jacob thinks that the caller might have assumed that new residents were now living in the house because they were used to calling and it'd be the mom answer, and then now it's a male voice. 3.5 months later, a construction worker discovers skeletal remains and some brush off Santa Ana Canyon Road in Anaheim. The remains are of a dog. But beneath the dog, covered lightly with soil, are human bones. A pelvis, an arm, two thighs, and a skull. Along with the bones are a turquoise ring and a watch, which was stopped precisely at 12:30 a.m. May 29, 1980. The day that Dorothy Scott disappeared. It seemed like a message. Vera Scott positively identifies the turquoise ring as belonging to her daughter, and a week later verifies that the remains are Dorothy's. After the announcement runs in the newspaper, the Scott family receives two more calls from a now familiar voice. The man asks, "Is Dorothy home?" Jacob Scott dies in 1994, 1 week shy of his 70th birthday, and Vera Scott dies in 2002, both without having learned the identity of the man who killed their daughter. It's rare that a killer will reach out to a victim's family, and even more rare for a killer to call the family, let alone repeatedly over a span of many years. Almost no one has heard of Dorothy Scott. There are hardly any online references. There's one entry for it on the Unsolved Mysteries Wiki, but the case was never even profiled on the show or on any other. Dorothy Scott's killer has gotten away not only with murder, but with the psychological torture of her family. He planned and waited with the patience and precision of a spider, then struck, gloated, and receded back into society. That is the case of Dorothy Jane Scott.
So wait, we don't know who did it?
We don't know who did it.
No! I want to know who did it.
I know. Tell us your theories. Instagram at Joan Alex Show or tweet us hashtag Murder Monday at Joan Alex Show.
Should I pick it up?
No.
What if it's the guy?
Do not answer the
Pork
phone.
Pork chop. Go screen the phone. See if it's the guy. I really want to know. All right. That was a good one, Alex. Cool.
Thanks.
We are the Joan Alex Show on Radio Now, Monday Music Marathon. We got that going for you. Now, I'm going to need some help here from Liv and Alex in just one second, but I found this very interesting that a teacher in Massachusetts shared this and with her class, but one of the kids snapped a photo, tweeted it, and it went viral. But a Massachusetts high school teacher keeps a spreadsheet of slang words so he can figure out what his students are saying. I need that in the room because I'm like, what is that, Liv? What is that, Alex? What are you saying? And here's some words, the language, and if you don't know what it is your kids are saying, this is something you need to listen to. How about this? Beat your face or cake your face. What does that mean?
Putting makeup on.
Yes. I've never heard a girl say, I'm going to beat my face.
Yep.
See, that blows my pork chop. Have you ever heard a chick say, I'm going to beat my face?
Well, they say, I'm going to have my face beat.
It sounds like you're getting in a fight with yourself.
Okay, this one is something I knew, but it's because I heard rap songs all the time. A lot of these are from like urban culture too, a lot of these slang words. Bread.
Money.
Money.
Yes.
Yeah, get that
I'm gonna
bread.
I'm going to get that bread.
All right, got a couple here. Right? Let's see.
Gluten-free for Liv.
Get hip. Do you know what get hip is?
I don't think I know this one.
No, get hip.
Like get cool, you know, hip and cool.
Adopt a new trend. Like yeah. I haven't heard that one, but that's what they're saying right there.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
hop
sense.
Off.
Like
oh,
back
that
off.
Means like, yeah, back off.
Mind your own business.
Yeah.
Why? It's impressive that you know all these, and I'm like, what the hell are these? Okay, I'm dead. That one's pretty
that's
easy.
That's like, it's funny.
Yeah, yeah that's amusing,
something's
LOL.
Something's like really funny.
I've learned this one from Liv and Alex a lot. Jams, an old or an enjoyable song.
Yep.
Yeah, that's my jam.
Okay, low key.
Low key just means like, low key just means low key. I don't even know how you describe that. It means like...
under the radar.
Not yeah. obvious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, oh, I low key like love this
I
song.
I want to start this. This teacher in Massachusetts did this, but Alex and Liv, I want to do this. Pork chop, we'll just, you and I will keep the spreadsheet running. I think this is so interesting. And I know we're like, oh my God, why are we doing this? Because there's kids that already know this, but I guarantee there's parents listening right now. They're like, huh? What? What is that? What about this? Well, this was easy. Nunya.
None of your business. That's old. I feel like that's from like the 90s.
They're saying some of these old ones are coming back though.
Oh,
too.
That makes sense because like 90s trends are coming back.
The teacher said their favorite thing that they never understood, snack.
Oh, hot.
It's like hot. Someone's a hot. They're a snack.
Looking like a snack.
Okay, now you're making like a snack.
So good that you want to eat them.
When did snack come back into popularity?
Like probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Year and a half.
Yeah, I'd say about a year and a half.
Is there any other words that I'm missing here that you think are kind of prominent, like that should be put out there? Because those, I mean, that kind of wraps it up.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, that covers a
yeah,
lot of
that
them.
That covers a lot. They're snatched. Like if you're snatched.
Does that mean like you're in a relationship?
No, you're like, you look really good.
Yeah.
Like your weave is snatched.
Yeah.
Oh, but what if somebody snatched your weave?
It's a compliment.
That's the compliment. So
yeah.
Like if I watch the new Taylor Swift
no,
music
what if
video,
you and
I'm
I got
like,
in a
oh,
fight.
She snatched my weave.
What if you and I got in a fight and we both had weaves on and I ripped your weave out? Didn't I snatch your weave?
No, maybe.
Well,
you,
yes,
it,
but...
It's in context. You got to, based off the context, you can tell if it's like a compliment or if like you're meaning literal.
Or if you say something like sis snapped. You're saying that somebody like just went off like
rails.
In a good, well, in a good way. Like,
sis
so,
went.
So same thing. Taylor Swift has a new music video. They're watching. They're like, sis snapped. Like she did something so amazing.
What about this one? Hey, go ahead. Pull up. What is that?
Pull up. Like, come here.
Like, hey, yeah. Like, go ahead, Liv. You can pull up.
I don't know.
You
I
can,
feel
like, you can do it.
I don't really
do
know
something.
That one.
It's like an invitation, like to,
yeah,
to come on through.
Yeah, you can come here. That's what I just said.
Okay, I will hey, just make sure I understood what you were saying. This one's pork chop gets all the time. Rashing. I never heard anybody say that. But he's saying it's a slang term that his kids use, rashing.
Like just breaking out in hives.
Yeah, just like getting nervous and like flustered.
It's to make fun of someone.
Okay. Okay. I've never heard that one.
Me neither.
So like when Porkchop hangs out around Alex and Liv, he gets a really bad rashing.
Yeah.
True.
That's what happened at Coachella a couple weekends ago.
With who?
I'm just kidding, because there was a herpes outbreak.
Oh, God.
Okay. Thanks, Liv, for tying that one up. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Monday, it's a Monday. We're the Joe and Alex Show. Twitter and Instagram, you could follow us there. It's at Joe and Alex Show. Really would like for you to call in, because this is a situation which I find really sad and disturbing, and I don't really think you should get divorced unless there's like abuse or something going on. I think you should try to work it out. But this situation, if this ever happens with my wife and I think I will file for divorce if this happens. 833-JOE-ALEX is the number, by the way, to call in. 833-563-2539. Should he file for divorce? Here's the story. I'm going to keep it very generic and right to the point. I was out to dinner when I was up in Michigan over the weekend for my friend's wedding. And talking to somebody saying, yeah, so my brother now has been with this girl for 5 years. They've been married 5 years. And she just decided, you know, I really don't want kids. Now, they knew beforehand going into the marriage they were going to have kids. Like, that's one of the things they talked about. Like, yeah, we'll have kids. And she's like, yeah, you know, I really don't want kids now.
That breaks my heart.
It's not that they can't have them. It's not that they can't adopt. None of that. It doesn't matter either way. It's just like, she's like, yeah, I just don't want kids. I don't, they're running around and all the nieces and nephews they have. You're like, yeah, that's enough for me. I say divorce immediately. There's no way you're wasting precious time that you have left to build a family. If that's what you agree on, I have other friends that are married and they're like, we're never going to have kids. We're selfish. And they say that. I'm not saying if you don't have kids, you're selfish. But they're like, we just want to take care of us, right? And that's all we want. And it's just, man, I just think about that now. I've been with my wife, Lindsay. We've been together 7 years, married for 3.5. And we're probably going to try in the next year or two. We're not trying right now. But if like 2 years from now comes up and my wife's like, you know what? I don't think I want to have kids.
Ugh.
I'm going to be so pissed, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to wish her well, but like, I'm going to start the proceedings for a divorce. I'm sorry I'm all tongue-tied, but what do you think about this guy's situation?
This is so difficult. I can't imagine being in his shoes. This is really my worst nightmare situation. And so I'm curious to see if anyone listening has had this happen. I almost feel like...
I hope not.
Oh, gosh. I almost feel like you just have to... then just deal with it.
But you're saying they have to, Alex, stay in the marriage.
Yeah, but there's going to be grounds for a lot of counseling and a lot of, I mean, that would cause so many issues for me. I would be absolutely heartbroken, devastated, angry. I would have resentment issues. I feel like that would be such a hard thing to work through.
Would you rather have to go to counseling, Alex, because the person cheated on you, or that they wouldn't have kids with you? Because cheating, you can move on past that.
No, I think...
The kids, not having kids ever?
Ooh,
I couldn't stay with the person.
It sounds like it was like just like a very like flippant, I think that's a word. Like,
we'll go with it.
Like way she said it. It sounded like, oh no, I just decided I don't want kids. Like, isn't that like a big decision that you think about for like months and months or like maybe years?
I think it's something, one of those things, which I didn't do all of them. I didn't check all the boxes. But yeah, premarital counseling or just in general, you talk among yourselves like, hey, do you like religion? I like religion. Do you like, you know,
kids?
Kids? Yeah, I like kids. Like, there's just certain things you have a general conversation. 833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-563-2539.
So I actually know a couple that this happened to. They got married and the girl was like, yeah, I don't want kids. And the husband was like, I just always kind of thought that she would change your mind or kind of grow out of it. I thought she meant that like she didn't want kids at that time because we were younger and like,
well, you got to really ask those questions kids.
Like ever or just like 5 year right. plan, because that's so a big difference.
Is it just as easy to switch like from one way to go back to the other though?
But Porkchop, what Liv's kind of saying here, I think, is that you can't just make that switch.
So I guess like she kept saying that she didn't want kids and she knew how much it meant to him. And so I think she finally was just kind of like, I'm going to do it for him. I really don't want a kid, but I'm going to do it for him because, like, I love him, even though I don't want one.
But that
and in my head, I was like, that's going to cause so much resentment. Oh, my gosh, all this stuff. They end up having a kid, and this kid changed this girl's life.
In a good way?
In a great way. She's obsessed with him. She is the best mom in the entire world. She wants to have another kid. She's like, I want another one. Like, he needs a brother, a little sister, or something. Like, it has changed her for the better.
Wow, Liv, thank you for sharing that. Miranda, you're on the Joe and Alex show, and you have a friend that's going through this right now?
Yeah, good morning, guys. So my best friend has been married to a woman for, I want to say, like, 3 years. And at the beginning of the relationship, they both wanted kids, and she was, like, actually having baby fever really bad, and he wasn't ready. Well, now things have, like, changed, and I guess she does not want kids at all and is, like, trying to get a 10-year birth control. And so he's like, well, at the beginning of our relationship, we wanted kids, and now it's changed.
Is he going to leave
her? They're actually, so they're on a, like, separation right now.
Is it because of this issue? Is that why they're separated?
Yeah. Just because he really wants kids, and she has completely changed her mind.
Jeez.
And says she doesn't want any.
That is so sad.
Hey, thank you for calling in, Miranda. I hope things work out for them. But, I mean, like, I never want to get divorced. Like, I really don't. But I don't know, Alex, how I would handle that if my wife, Lindsay, 2 years from now, that's like the time when we're going to probably try to start a, you know, a thing, then start a family. She's like, yeah, let's wait 5 more years. Or like, oh, you know what? No, I'm good. I've got a bunch of nieces and nephews. So I'm like, oh, God, I love you, but bye.
So listen to this bye. BS that my ex put me through. We were dating. I talked about how, you know, it was number one most important thing for me to have kids. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah. We went into detail talking about, you know, how many kids would we want to have if we ended up getting married? What, you know, how would we want to raise them? All these different things. He never said anything about not wanting or couldn't have kids. After several months of dating, he is driving me home from a restaurant, and he's like, hey, I need to tell you something. So I was told by doctors that I am probably sterile. I'm not going to be able to have kids. And I have been, like, dreading telling you that because I know that's, like, the number one thing that you want. And I
so
was
probably,
pissed.
Like, yes or is it for sure?
So he said he was told he had like a 99% chance of being sterile. So he was like, so basically I want you to take the weekend. I want you to think about, you know, if you would still want to be with me, because I completely understand if you want to date somebody else to, you know, who can give you that, because that's the number one thing you want. And I was like, okay. So I took that night, and I, after a few hours, I called all my friends and my family. I discussed it. I was like, what do you think? You know, and I just decided, well, I'm so in love with him, and people get married all the time and then realize that they can't have kids. Right. And then you still work through it. So I was like, you know, if he is the person I'm supposed to be with, then I'm willing to be with him anyway. So I call him up and I'm like, hey, I know that you don't think that you're going to be able to have kids, but I still want to be with you. I choose to be with you and love you anyway. And he says, you know what? I'm going to need some time to think about it. I'm not sure that I want to be with you. The next day, after I went through the torment of basically mourning the loss of my unborn children, he comes over to my apartment and tells me, actually, I'm not in love with you.
Oh my gosh, what a jerk.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yep.
Abby, you're on the Joe and Alex show, and you're going through this right now. Is that correct?
I am. I actually am going through a divorce right now due to this problem. When we got married, we discussed that we didn't want children right away, and we may not ever. And then it got down to the point where I decided, you know, maybe we are wasting time, and I do want a child. And he decided that he did not and wanted to focus on his career. And, of course, there were other issues that were surrounding this, but that was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back. So we are actually going through a divorce because of this, because of the whole kid situation. So it's tough, but, you know, when that's what you want, even though that, you know, you talked about probably not having them, but you wanted to leave the window open, and then when a time comes and you're both on different pages, sometimes it just, you know, it's what happens.
Do you feel like you didn't go deep enough into the subject when you were just dating?
Probably. You know, I think there was probably some of that, you know, I wanted to please him and he wanted to please me, and we really didn't want to, you know, get too far into something right away with that. And then when we got married, it was, we just want to spend time with us and, you know, be selfish for a little while. And,
yeah,
you know, we were okay with saying that. And then, it, you know, as I'm 33 now, and as time, you know, kept ticking, I was like, you know, maybe I should bring a child into this world. And you know, and then I got to thinking, maybe it's not with him that I should bring a child into this
world.
Hey,
Abby, I still got 2 more years with my wife before like that might conversation might come up. If you can wait 2 more years, you know, like we can maybe do it together.
That sounds good.
All right, cool. 2 years from now, call back. We'll check in, all right? We'll see what's going on. No, seriously, though, Abby, thanks for sharing that, because that's very tough, I can only imagine, and very personal. We appreciate you. Let's wrap things up here on the Joe and Alex Show with Kayla. If you're just tuning in, I went to a wedding this weekend. I had a conversation with somebody, and this girl, her brother, has been married for 5 years, and now is finding out, like, hey, we were planning on having kids, but his wife says, no, you know what? After this time, I don't want kids, and I think that's grounds for divorce. Kayla, what did you want to say?
Okay, so my husband's parents, they're divorced now, but before, when they got married, they kind of agreed, like, they were going to have kids and stuff, but then later on, his dad said, no, I don't want kids, so his mom just, like, made it happen. She didn't tell him, and
she just poked a hole in the condom?
Went off the birth control and just, you know.
Oh my gosh, did they stay together?
No, I mean, they're divorced now. I don't think that's why, but, like, she didn't think it was fair because, like, they had agreed, like, they were going to have kids, and she really wanted kids, and then he's like, no, I don't want them anymore. So she just made it happen.
Normally, I would say that's a dastardly thing to do, but touche.
Yeah, you know what? Here, the lesson learned here is just start replacing your birth control with Flintstone vitamins. Take those instead. He'll never know.
I was going to suggest Tic Tacs because, man, my wife said to bring her birth control. I'm like, you dummy, they're not orange. I'm like, oh, I thought they were Tic Tacs. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now, and let me tell you this. Drinking and driving is the most selfish, stupidest thing you could do in the world. You could kill somebody. You could injure somebody. Forget yourself. I mean, who cares about you when you make that stupid decision? But, man, you could change the world in a second. And that's what happened yesterday. Thankfully, I wasn't in it, but I just got home from Michigan with my wife, Lindsay, and we parked our Jeep from Champion Crusher Jeep Dodge Ram, what up, and heading upstairs, unpacking all of our stuff, and usually cars don't go that fast down my road, but I heard kind of you ever have like a truck go by, like a lawn mowing truck where they got like mowers on the back, it's like a bounce of a trailer, like boom, boom, ba-boom. I'm like, oh, what was that? But like, there's no hole or pothole in front of our yard. Lindsay's like, oh my God, somebody just hit your Jeep and flipped. Somebody on my block, they must have ran the stop sign, but they actually were in a Jeep Rubicon, which I'm also in, which is like a Jeep on Jeep crime. I thought we're supposed to wave at each
Jeep
other,
on Jeep.
But not to do, you know, this kind of stuff. But there was no brakes, nothing. They just swerved into my Jeep on the passenger side, like the rear side.
In the middle of a Sunday.
Middle of a Sunday afternoon, and they ended up pushing my Jeep into my neighbor's yard. So they moved there about 2 or 3 Jeep lengths.
Ooh.
So probably like 15, 20 feet from a parked position. Thank God. I kid you not, 10 minutes ago or like before that, my wife and I were in that same spot opening the back of the Jeep to unload our luggage. That could have been us.
Smokes.
And that's when it got me, because we weren't in the Jeep when it happened. We were up inside of our room in our bedroom. But I thought, oh my God, that could have been my wife. That could have been, I mean, if I'm dead, I'm dead, but that could have been my wife.
Yeah. Now, you guys are lucky to be alive, because you're right. If you would have just
lucky.
A few minutes earlier would have been down there, he would have plowed right into you.
It's just absolutely insane. And it's funny, the one part of it, all the neighbors come, everybody's getting out there trying to help these people.
How many people were in the car that were driving?
Two. There was a male driver, a female occupant. I can say allegedly, right, that covers me from saying things. But they reeked of alcohol.
Okay.
They did a breathalyzer.
Was it a Cinco de Mayo situation?
I assume it might have been a Cinco de Mayo, but they're also, I don't know if they're, this is where I don't know. There were a bunch of pills in the car. I don't know if this was medicine or if it, they seemed like out of their mind, like high. Their eyes seem really dilated, their pupils.
In the
allegedly,
photo, it looks like blood on the street. Were they
hurt? No, that's brake fluid. The guy destroyed his Jeep. He like ran up my Jeep and flipped over. I don't even know how he went like into the back right side of my Jeep somehow and flipped his Jeep over. He had giant mud tires. You can actually see the photo. We're putting it up right now on Instagram at Joe and Alex Show. So you can see how insane this was.
Were they hurt?
Yeah. The girl, I don't know why, the airbag in her Jeep did not go off. And one photo I didn't post, but it was so graphic. Her head went direct. She got out and walked away. Both walked away. They both had injuries, but she got out of the Jeep. Her head went directly into the windshield.
Oh my gosh.
Like a crash
test
dummy.
Scary.
Absolutely insane. Then like they were out of it because like we went. I'm like, Lindsay, like everybody's calling 911. By the way, side note, I don't know what it is, and I'm not trying to talk crap, but you brought this up before, Alex, and I poo-pooed it. I will give you something on this. What is wrong with our 911 dispatch in our area? It took 4 minutes for us to get through to 911.
What?
We were on hold.
I told you.
People
were
on hold for
a shortage.
4 minutes. People are dying because people are waiting on hold.
Yes, they
four
are.
4 minutes?
4 minutes, yes. Everybody's like, oh, I'm just on hold. I can't get through.
I talked about this a few months ago. There it was a case. People were eating at a local steakhouse, and this woman was choking, and all these different people in the restaurant were trying to get a hold of 911. Not any of them could get through. All of them were put on hold, and the reason is because there is a shortage of people applying to be 911 dispatchers. It is absolutely terrifying, and we need people to sign up to do it. If you are looking for a part-time job, please consider being a 911 dispatcher.
To me, that has to be a full-time job because that's so important. I mean, I get it.
Well,
like,
there is part-time, full-time, whatever. Either way,
but it's just,
we need them.
So that happened, but they eventually made it there. You know what's actually interesting? I don't want to say the person's name just to keep him off the radar, but Pork Chop, remember when I went out and grabbed a lunch with a Joe and Alex show listener who
is a
cop?
Yeah.
Guess who rolled up? Who was the on scene?
Really?
I don't want to say his name, but yeah, he's an officer, and he actually is the one that wrote the accident report for
me.
He's like, when I heard it was a Jeep, I was like, I hope it's not Joe's from the Joe and Alex show.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was, but it wasn't my fault. I wasn't, but... It was insane. I feel bad for the people, but I'm also pissed off at them because they were clearly drunk and high.
Wait, so I want to know what the breathalyzer said because they did a breathalyzer test.
I think that the guy, because he was the driver, he had alcohol in the system. I don't know if he was legally drunk yet, but I know they're going to probably do blood results because if you assume drugs, you have to do like toxicology and stuff,
well,
so they probably have to draw blood on him.
Because they can deny that.
What?
A toxicology.
Yeah, but like a judge can give a warrant for that, like for blood being drawn.
So do you know like if he denied it or not?
I don't know anything, so I really can't say anything.
Okay. They could have had one drink, and that really they weren't driving drunk, but they could have been driving high if they were popping prescription pills, which you said.
And that's
saw.
What I'm saying. There's pills. I don't know. I didn't go up into the Jeep, but like it was just everything was all over the street. I think all the stuff's still there, but I was like, holy crap, I've never seen something so powerful before. Like where my vehicle was parked in front of our house and it slid down like 20 feet in park. You can see the only brake marks, that's what I'm saying, they didn't stop, is from my Jeep. Like where the tire got pushed up and it pushed the Jeep 20 feet across the grass and then 20 feet where it drug the right side tires, the passenger tires, on the road. That's brake marks there. But this vehicle, this Jeep, never stopped.
That's so scary.
He might have swerved, but he never stopped. I think about all the people that walk through because I live like by the trail around there. So all the people that walk around that area with kids and strollers and dogs.
Yeah, and also especially yesterday because yesterday the weather was amazing. There were people out everywhere. I live by Joe, and there were literally so many people out, and that's so freaking scary.
So what happens because you don't own this vehicle? It's through an endorsement through the radio station that you get to drive
Jeeps. Champion Crusher Jeep Dodge Ram. I don't know.
You told them?
They did. I was calling our big boss, Dion. I'm like, and he wasn't answering. I'm like, dude, of all times, I never do this. I'm like, please call me back ASAP. I'm okay, but this is very urgent.
Uh-huh.
No call back.
No one?
No. I called him 7 times, and I think I woke him up and was like, hello? I'm like, bro, what are you doing?
So you did finally talk to him?
I did, and I guess he's going to talk to people today, but I did reach out to other people there, and here's what I'm amazed by. Don't get me wrong. I think this guy might have totaled it. I'm dead serious.
So what happened?
I think he might have bent the frame.
When you're borrowing a car.
I don't know. If I get fired, it's because of this guy. I'm going to go sue him. I don't know. I assume that the dealership would sue him and the insurance company and look at their money back. But
So the dealership does know?
Yeah, they know, but I don't think they know. Like, they know there's an accident, but I mean, Deanne's going to talk to them about all that.
Right.
But
they probably don't know how severe it is, what happened to the car.
Until they actually look at it today.
Wow, you got to go see this photo, Instagram, at Joan Alex Show. I mean, it's just wild.
Dude, Joe, when stuff like this happens, I always think, because you remember how you said, like, 10 minutes, you know, you were in your house unloading, and that's when the car got
hit? Honestly,
not
to be dramatic, we'd be dead. Or paralyzed.
You know what I start thinking about? Things throughout the day, like where did like were you and Lindsay on your way driving and Lindsay was like, I gotta stop and go to the bathroom, and you're like, no. Imagine that 10 minutes that saved your
Lindsay's
life.
Yeah, Lindsay's voodoo break would have saved it. But here's what I want to say though. We'll see how it is after they actually see the Jeep, even though none of it's my fault because it was parked. But I called up John, one of the guys there at Champion Crusher Jeep Dodge Ram. He's a really cool guy. He always treats me well, even before this whole endorsement thing. And he's like, are you okay? Like, it was cool because I would be like, You're going to pay for this one, Joe.
Holy smokes.
We're firing you.
No.
But I mean, I was really cool how nice they were and how awesome they are. And that's how they treat all their customers, not just some radio dude. But I would normally say, hey, go stop by Champion Crusher Jeep Dodge Ram at 96 in Michigan and, you know, go take the Jeep I have. But I don't think you want this one. But they have tons of other ones with the employee pricing. So there you go. Not for 2018 models. But do you think they'll give it to me if it's totaled? They could just give it to me.
Probably not. No.
Yeah,
probably
I doubt not. That's going to happen.
Yeah, I always wondered. Hey, good morning, Joe and Alex Show. Who's this?
My name is Alicia.
Hey, what's up? What do you want to say?
So I have a comment on your 911 dispatch.
Yeah, help me out. 4 minutes we tried calling yesterday.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what it is because I'm a dispatcher. So when you call and you're on hold and you hang up, you're stuck in a queue and we have to call you back.
No.
But that time.
But nobody, I get that, but nobody hung up. And I'm not mad at you. Like, I'm just mad
at
the system.
No, yeah.
No, like,
but the people, whoever was in front of you might have hung up.
Okay, so that's a good thing to know.
Yeah, so we have to call those people back twice and then send an officer.
So you just let it keep on ringing then? I think I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
Like, if I was calling the pork chops, like, well, I already called and I hang up, it's still going to make me, like, you're going to have to call me back. Okay, so keep on letting it ring.
That's a good thing to know.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Do not hang up.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. Did you have an exciting weekend? Did you get to dispatch the call to my house?
No, I was off. It was
man.
Lovely.
All right. Well, I'll see if I can put my other car out in the street and see if they'll hit that one, too.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for what you do. We really appreciate you.
Thanks.
So, you know what, though? Bottom line, though, thank God we're okay. Like, I'm really pissed about this, but it could have been a lot worse.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
You know what the blessing in disguise was? I met all my neighbors yesterday.
There you go.
Everybody came out. They're like, oh, my God. I'm like, hi, I'm Joe.
It was like a block party.
It was. You know, we had the fire going with that Jeep that was on fire.
Yeah.
We needed some marshmallows.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Post Malone is getting into the marijuana business with his very own brand that launches in July. He's launching a chronic company he's dubbed Shaboink, and it's specializing in a line of flower, pre-roll joints, and vaporizers. Shaboink products will officially roll out in California dispensaries on July 4th, which is also Post Malone's 24th birthday. His biz will produce THC and CBD products.
Yo, bro, you got that Shaboink?
Legendary Disney voice actor Jim Cummings, who is known for voicing characters like Tigger and Winnie the Pooh, is being accused of rape and animal abuse by his ex-wife. According to court documents, she claims that since her divorce from him, he is engaged in physical, sexual, and emotional abuse, including but not limited to death threats, rape, and various sexual deviant behavior forced upon me without my consent. She also says that he raped her back in 2013, which was 2 years after she ended their marriage.
Well, that's wonderful.
Isn't that so awful?
Yay, wonderful.
Yikes. Lori Loughlin's daughter, Olivia Jade, moved out of her parents' house in Beverly Hills to help escape the media circus over their involvement in the college admission scandal. Sources say her parents still face a lot of media attention, and there's paparazzi at the family house every day. It's very stressful, I guess, for everybody. She's decided to move out for now because she doesn't want to be followed when she leaves the house. Hayden Panettiere's boyfriend, Brian Hickerson, was arrested after getting physical with her. Cops were called to the couple's home in Hollywood at 2:30 a.m. following a heated argument that turned violent. He was then arrested for domestic violence. He was also arrested back in October after he got into a fight with his own father and even chased him around with a Gatorade bottle in front of cops. I don't know if you've ever heard of the, like, Hayden Panettiere rumors, but there is some wild stuff
like
about
what?
That girl.
Give me something. I got to hear something.
Like just that growing up as a child actor, her mom was, put her into sex trafficking, and there was just all this crazy abuse going on in her family, and that she's a major victim, and that she keeps dating guys who do weird stuff to her. I mean,
Has anybody ever asked her, though? Like, has anybody said, hey, were you sex trafficked?
I don't know. This is the rumor. I don't think she wants to talk about it. I think it's like a hidden thing that some people in Hollywood know about. This is what I'm telling you is like the underground rumor. And then also, she supposedly, like, she has a new baby, but she, like, was, she said that she was going through postpartum depression and all this, but she ended up just, like, giving the baby to someone else to, like, rape. I don't know. There's all this weird stuff with Hayden. Rumors. You can look into it if you Google her, like, past stuff. And Madonna says that she's now fighting ageism in the music industry and that she is being punished for hitting 60. She told British Vogue magazine, "People have always been trying to silence me one reason or another, whether it's that I'm not pretty enough, I don't sing well enough, I'm not talented enough, I'm not married enough, and now it's that I'm not young enough. So they just keep trying to find a hook to hang their beef about me being alive on. Now I'm fighting ageism and I'm being punished for turning 60. This full feature is going to be in the June issue of British Vogue, available on May 10th. I have to say, it's not ageism. It's just that you are, nobody cares about you anymore, Madonna. Like, nobody wants to see you, yeah, shaking your ass at 60 years old in a thong and thigh-high boots. Sorry. I don't know that that's ageism. It's just like, you're phased out.
Sorry, Madonna. Alex is an ageist. No, I agree. I love Madonna back in the day. A little like a virgin will be my favorite thing to dance to at a wedding, but
it's not relevant anymore.
Like, you don't have to be attractive to be out there. It has to do with the music. And I'm just trying to think of a song that Madonna's released that I've liked recently.
But her ways on how to get attention for herself is doing all this half-naked stuff, whatever. You're an old lady. Embrace it.
Dude, I think it's, like, she's obviously not relevant as far as, like, pop culture now and like top charts now, but I think like you have to respect what she has done.
Yeah, people do, but I think she's ruining her
look.
Her not look, but basically
brand.
Yes, she's ruining her brand by trying to keep going. Kind of like I feel the same way about Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey needs to take a break. She needs to stop trying to come out with flops and just end on a high note. So that's the garbage.
All right, thank you so much, Alex.
For more garbage, go to JoeAndAlexShow.com.
Joe Alex, who has a job where they flirt to make more money? I mean, when you turn on the charm or you're flirting and getting all sexy, does that really make a difference? Are you making more cash? I want to know how you do it. 833-JOE-ALEX. That is 833-563-2539. Liv the Web Girl brought up this conversation. Now, were you mad about this or what exactly happened that you even told us and shared with everybody?
I was a little mad, not really at him, but like at the women. So,
and you're talking about your boyfriend.
Yes, my boyfriend.
Joel Daddy.
So he used to work for his family business. His parents own a bunch of dance studios around town.
Mm-hmm.
And they teach like ballroom dance classes. And so he used to work for them. And he was like an instructor, but like more like a salesperson. Like people would come in and they would teach like do like one class. And then he would try to sell them like a package of classes. And so he would always kind of like flirt with the women to get them to like buy more packages and stuff like that. So yesterday we were at an event for their business. He doesn't work there anymore, but a lot of people that he like got to buy these packages were there. So they still think that they can like flirt with him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So they all are like obsessed with him and are like hugging him and like rubbing his arm and getting really close to his face. Like, oh, we miss you so much, and are just being like so flirtatious with him. And I'm like feeling uncomfortable standing there like, shoot, should I like leave them alone? Like, geez.
Yeah, I mean, let your boyfriend make that money, honey.
But, like,
let him do his thing.
He's not making money. He doesn't work there anymore. So I'm like, okay.
It could be future business. It might be like, oh, by the way, I used to sell you salsa.
Dude,
now I sell you a house.
I almost wanted to dump cold water on a couple of these, like, women. Like, they needed to take a cold shower or something. But, and he told me, I was like, you know, I used to flirt with them because I wanted them to buy the packages, and that was like an effective way.
It happens all the time. Allie, you're on the Joe and Alex show, and what are you working? What do you do?
Hey, I work in sales.
So okay. I guarantee you flirt.
All the time.
In what way? Like, you don't have to say what you do for a living. I'd like to know your industry, but if not, like, how do you use flirting to your advantage? What are you doing?
I can tell you specifically I work in business sales, and most of the time small, medium businesses. A lot of them are owned by men.
Yeah.
So I will say it's a huge advantage to be a female in sales in that industry.
But you're not telling me what you do, though. Are you like, oh, I don't know, maybe. How are you flirting? What are you doing? Give me your tips. Are you, like, showing your boobs off? No, I don't.
No.
The only thing I can imagine is that, like, you're showing me your chest. Like,
no, she's on the phone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So what is she saying?
So I'm not always on the phone. There's outside sales. I always dress modestly. I'm married. My husband is well aware of what I do for a living. So it's not like I'm whoring myself out, but I absolutely laugh at their jokes, ask them about their family, their hobbies, what they like to do.
So you act interested. You act like you care.
Exactly. There's psychology behind it.
Oh, I'm not going after you. I'm just like, okay, I'm glad to hear it. So Allie kicks it off with working in sales.
Yeah, I feel like almost every job, actually, it benefits you to flirt.
See, I don't think so at all. Like, I think sales, but, like, what? Why other jobs?
Oh, anything that you work with the public. So the food industry, retail.
Those are all kind of like sales.
Even if you're nursing or anything, if you've got a client of the opposite sex or a patient of the opposite sex, I feel like it benefits you to be kind of flirty.
Dude, I don't think so.
You think it could have a bad thing?
Even teachers, not with the kids, but with the parents of the kids.
Guaranteed. Dude, I wouldn't think so at all, because teachers would not, like, there's always, you hear that, like, the husband hooking up with the kid's teacher or, like, the nanny.
That brings up a good point. Alex, if you're throwing it out there with the teachers, okay, I'm Mr. Hot Attractive Joe, the teacher, and I flirt with the mom. How does that benefit me as a teacher? They just, like, give me a good review? Because I'm not getting, you as a parent are not giving me a pay raise.
Keeping them on your side, you're coming to help with more classroom activities, you're volunteering your time to go, what is that called, chaperone things.
Like
events?
You're
donating materials. They always need things for the classroom, and if a parent really likes you, is interested, they might be willing to do that.
Yeah, but I think also it could be a total turnoff. No one wants to be flirted with,
Maybe.
If they don't want, I think it could be a huge turnoff. But my dad.
Your dad flirts?
No, he's in finance. And so there's people who work for hedge funds. And they come and they try to sell the hedge funds to you and to get you to sell the hedge funds to your clients, whatever. Right. So there's one woman that comes in and she's really good at her job and she's beautiful and she's engaged. Well, she was at the time when I was an intern there, and she used to take off her engagement ring and put it in her purse when she went
Genius.
To go see the
there's
financial
another,
advisors.
There's another industry, finance.
Just because even like subconsciously, even if these guys are married, subconsciously, they're going to be like, oh, she's available.
That's why I take my ring off. Anytime public appearance, the ring will come off. Let's wrap things up with Haley. You're on the Joe and Alex Show. What do you do for a living where you might turn on the flirting to get a little bit more money?
I am actually a hairdresser, so like I cut people's hair. I, do all that sort of stuff. And my clientele is probably 80% men, so if you laugh at their jokes, tell them that they look really good today, or like when you're shampooing their hair, give them a little extra scalp massage, like they take that into consideration a lot.
Wow, you might get tipped more.
Am I wrong here? Does it sound like that women are able to manipulate men more than men can manipulate women
for making more
money?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
I don't think so.
Men are weak.
I'm telling you, almost any industry, you can benefit from this financially.
So who do you flirt with, Alex?
Well, listeners, radio people, you flirt with your listeners when you're out.
Oh, they were so gross.
I'm not saying that necessarily. Sometimes there have been cute people.
Poor Chop, I feel like your boyfriend, I've met him, Chase. I don't feel like he flirts at work. Do you think that's something he should start doing?
No, he definitely does not flirt at work.
He's like Oscar the Grouch at work.
He is for sure a grump.
Fine, here's your mixed cocktail.
He's the opposite of Pork Chop. Pork Chop is annoyingly nice, and Chase is kind of, grouchy.
But like that's his shtick, and his bar guests love it. Like he's
kind of a jerk,
and they love it. They just, they all come in and to watch him like bark around at like other employees and other bar guests.
He probably has like a rapport with them, kind of back and forth, like giving each other crap.
Yeah.
I can see that.
He would do so good at Dick's Last Resort.
Oh my gosh.
He should work there.
I know. If anyone doesn't know, that's the place where you go and
the waiters
like.
They're mean to you.
Yeah, they're mean to you.
Oh my gosh, why doesn't he work there? There's one in town.
You know who I think could work there? Alex and Liv. They could get signed up today.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y.
It's the dummy.
Come on, sing it.
It's the dummy of the day. It's the dummy.
Oh yeah,
it's the dummy of the day on the Joe and Alex Show.
An Iowa man is facing child porn charges after illicit images were found on his laptop. The man took his computer to a local Best Buy. It was covered in gravy, so he went to get it repaired, and that's when the photos were discovered. According to police, he purchased a new computer but also paid an additional fee to have the files on his gravy-covered computer transferred to his newly purchased laptop or computer. First of all, disgusting pig, obviously shoot him in the head. We all agree on that. But who spills gravy on their computer? What are you doing? Do you have like a KFC bucket nearby and some mashed potatoes and gravy? Like, how are you getting gravy on your laptop?
This is what we call Kentucky Fried Justice.
Exactly. The man admitted, I downloaded images of 4 and 5-year-olds, and he said, they were flipping pancakes, and yeah. What kind of sicko? What kind of sicko is doing that? And it goes to show you, not only is he sick in the head, but he's stupid as hell. Like, if I was a creepy person like that, there's no way I'm taking my stuff into a Geek Squad.
That was for sure the most interesting day the Geek Squad has had in a while.
No kidding. God, I wonder what crap they've had to clean off computers. I can think of other things, but gravy? No, thank you. That's your dummy of the day here on the Joe and Alex Show.
Check out the dummy of the day at joeandalexshow.com.
We'll get back to that music in just 1 second. Sorry, I hit a button because, like, my back, my nerve is pinched, and I couldn't get back here in time. But I'm back! Oh, Lord, I'm back. Now, I love artists with their names, and it's always interesting to find out, how did they exactly get that name? Well, People Magazine came out, and there's a ton of them. I'm just going to narrow down a few of them. But they have a whole list of celebrities explaining how they got their stage names, the names that we all know them as. Queen Latifah. Does anybody know how she got her name?
Ooh,
Queen
no. Latifah. I love these kinds of stories, though. I love these fun facts.
Well, according to People, she said Latifah means delicate and very kind in Arabic, and she likes the juxtaposition of the next to the boldness of Queen. So that's where she came up with that.
Okay, that's creative.
Travis Scott, H-Town's own. He said his name was inspired by two heroes, his uncle Travis and Kid Cudi, whose real name is Scott. That's his first name. But mostly he wanted to pay tribute to his uncle. Quote, he was just cool as F. He's always just, had swag. He played golf and stuff.
Okay, he played golf.
Swagging just like Tiger Woods. This one I think everybody knows, but maybe I'm wrong. I know because it was on Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon. Post Malone. Does anybody know how Post Malone got his name, his
yes.
stage name? Alex, go ahead. Let's see if you're right.
It was like a rap name generator or something like that online.
Correct. When he's 14 years old, he ran it through there, and that's when it came up with Post Malone.
That's incredible.
Because his name's Austin Post, so it came up with Post Malone. What about Cardi B?
Cardi B. She has, it's like a shortened version of her really weird long name.
Her name is, and I'm going to say it wrong right now, so please, Lord, forgive me. Her name is Belicious, Malarious, Almazar. Okay, see, I butchered it. Point
that's
is,
that's insane.
It's a tongue twister. Well, no, her sister back in the day, I guess her nickname, people used to call her sister Hennessy, so everybody used to call her Bacardi.
Right.
Like sick on the liquor. Yeah. So she shortened it to Cardi B. The B stands for whatever, depending on the day. Beautiful or bully or beep.
Yeah, I've heard that before, I think.
Okay, and I never heard that one. Let's see here. Whoopi Goldberg. She was born Karen Elaine Johnson, but wanted a fun name. She said, quote, if you get a little gassy, you got to let it go. So people used to say to me, you're like a whoopee cushion. So I guess she was like, you live. She used to always let them rip. And it's like, hey, you know what we'll call you? Whoopi. And then she says, according to this, she said that she'd picked the last name Goldberg. Her mom suggested it because she wanted to be in show business. She thought she might get further in Hollywood with a Jewish surname.
Oh,
so,
that's so funny.
Could be possible. What about Lorde? Haven't heard music in a while from Lorde, but how did Lorde get her name?
Oh, man, I know this and I cannot think of it.
Maybe she likes Lord of the Flies.
She said, I don't know if this is what you were thinking, Alex, because this seems kind of basic. She said she wanted a more special name. She said, quote, I wanted a name that was really strong and had its grandeur to it. And I always liked the idea of having a one-name alias, like Lord or Cher.
Yeah, I think I have heard that a long, long time ago.
What about Snoop Dogg? Snoop D-O-double-G.
I don't know this one.
Well, he was born Calvin Brodus. Did you know that? His real name's Calvin Brodus. Little fun fact there. But his family called him Snoopy because they thought he had a resemblance to Peanuts, the character Snoopy.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, well, his first album is like the Snoop Dogg's, Snoopy's Doghouse with the bird on it.
Yeah.
You guys know what I'm talking about? His
album. No, you're right.
I get you. It's giving you a hard time.
Like a doghouse. Well, I thought it was a doghouse, not Snoopy, but maybe you're right.
It is Snoopy's doghouse.
Interesting.
And it has like the little yellow bird on it, too.
Oh,
like,
I guess I never noticed that.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, LL Cool J. His real name is James Todd Smith, but when he was 16 years old, he began calling himself LL Cool J.
Ladies love Cool J.
Cool James. Cool James. Ladies love Cool James because his name was James. So ladies love Cool James.
I love that.
Little fun stuff for your Monday morning here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. It's the Joe and Alex Show here on Radio Now 100.9. All right, caller number 9, 833-563-2539. That's 833-JOE-ALEX. If you're caller number 9, you're going to get hooked up with Jonas Brothers tickets and qualified to see BTS. They're going to be performing in New York City on Good Morning America as part of their summer concert series Wednesday, May 15th. Caller number 9 right now, you're going to win.
This is like the greatest boy band extravaganza ever.
We are the Joe and Alex Show. That's going to do it for a Monday. If you miss Murder Monday, you know where to go. Go online to joeandalexshow.com. You can check it out, or make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Just search for the Joe and Alex Show for Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, pretty much anywhere. Just subscribe to the Joe and Alex Show. What do you got going on today, Alex?
I have a visit today pertaining to my child advocate's case, so I am observing a visit between one of the parents and the children involved.
Have you done this before? I know you've done different things, but have you done this part of it?
This is going to be my first time going to the residence of one of the biological parents.
Are you nervous?
I am a little bit nervous, yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, good luck with that. I'm sure you'll do fine.
Thank you.
Liv the Web Girl, what's happening with you today?
I'm going to go home and I have to finish Game of Thrones from yesterday. I watched like the first hour and 10 minutes or something, but I think all the episodes are an hour and a half long here on OWL because there's only 3 episodes left.
Yeah, then it's done.
Including the one from yesterday. So I have to finish it. I heard something crazy happens at the end. But, I'm just really looking forward to that. And I have to work.
You're worrying me that it must be really boring that you fell asleep. Because if it's so captivating, there's no way you would have fallen asleep last night.
No, I fell asleep because I was extremely, extremely, extremely exhausted.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to watching it today, too. We can talk about it tomorrow when we're both caught up. But don't text me until I text you.
I won't.
All right. Pork Chop, what do you got going on today?
I'm going to follow up with some more applications. Over the weekend, I put in a bunch of applications to, get a part-time job as a waiter at a fancy steakhouse. So I'm just going to do more follow-ups with that today.
Yeah, you said you were following up over the weekend. Did you?
I followed up with the one. Yeah.
And what happened?
They told me they probably won't be hiring again until July.
Well, you better stay on there July 1st. Like, hey, I want to work.
Hire me.
All right. Well, I got to get out of here and figure out how they're going to fix this pinched nerve in my back. The worst pain's actually in the back of my leg. Like, my leg has just been tingling all morning. So that's a joy. I took like 1,000 milligrams of ibuprofen, which is probably a lot, but it's done nothing. So I'm going to turn to gin later today when I get home. That always seems to numb the pain.
No, you have to go to the chiropractor.
Well, I'm going
to
do that too. I'm just going to take an Uber. Pork Chop, there you go. Let me get drunk. You Uber me there and back, okay?
Got it.
Sounds good. And I'm also afraid because, not to gross you out, I did have bean burritos last night. I got into the town, and I'm so afraid he's going to make an adjustment. And it's going to, oops, sorry about that. So that's my wonderful day. Well, let's get on out of here. Let's say goodbye. Alex, Live the Web Girl, producer Pork Chop. Bye.
Bye.